Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Good morning, campers! Pick up your coffee cup, make a cup of tea, pour yourself a beer. Hair of the dog, it's the Francine Marie Show!
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Guess who's back? It's Jameika Anderson. She is the founder and executive director of I Am Not the Media Incorporated. It's a nonprofit organization for teens that empower youth through media literacy and media creation. You can go right now, iamnotthemedia.org, and see what's happening. With that said, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
So here's the deal. You do everything for teens, right, to make this world a better place. Now, today, you're sharing with adults your book club, your virtual book club. And I found it on Facebook. You are doing a book called White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo. It's getting a lot of buzz. But there's lots of books out there that are sold out right now.
Definitely. I think that this is the time right now where racial discourse has entered the national consciousness. And so everyone is wanting to educate themselves more on the racial history and climate of our country. When people specifically on social media are engaging in a lot of online rhetoric regarding racial issues, they feel the need to become more educated. And I think that that's what has happened as of today, where people are feeling the need to educate themselves on race matters in general. And so that's why everyone is pretty much ordering everything on the shelves on Amazon and Audible. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is the book all that in a bag of chips? Is it really worth the hype that it's created?
I read the book a year ago, and I read it because the book came out in 2018. I mean, it's been out for a while. Read it in my PhD program as a required reading. I have Audible, so I'm always reserving books in my Audible that I don't even get a chance to read. So I'd already ordered the book because it just seemed like a great book to read. But the first time I read it was in my PhD program last year. And I immediately was, I couldn't put it down. I read it in one day. It was just so informative. A lot of the content and a lot of the moments that I was having with the book was, wow, she knew how to put what I was going through in words. Although she writes the book, Robin DiAngelo writes the book towards the white audience, that's the purpose of it, is to educate other white Americans on race matters and race issues. She basically takes the stance that it's not necessarily the job of those that have been historically oppressed to educate you on race matters or to educate you on the need for helping support our liberation. Even with that being said, the book is a great read for, although we're not the target population, for people of color, because she puts everything into words that I haven't been able to communicate. And so the reason I read the book initially was to be able to confidently engage in race conversations. So that course was designed to equip people to be able to have conversations that we would normally run away from. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, it was a phenomenal read because it contextualized all of the experiences that I have went through as a person of color, as a woman of color. And it helped me unpack it. And it helped me understand how to engage in conversations to explain to, if I was to ever get in a conversation in a workplace where I might be the minority in the room, I can actually engage in those conversations if needed. So I love the text. And I know there's a lot of controversy right now with Robin DiAngelo kind of being the voice of anti-racism to a degree. But for me, that book is a great read. So that's the reason why I wanted it to be the first book, because it's an easy read. It's not too complicated. And some books, when you read, you're like, okay, hold on. Let me read that paragraph again. Let me read that sentence. It's not like that with the book. So that's why I thought it would be a great read to start off.
So explain to our audience, if you're just not tuning in, that's Jameika Anderson, the founder and executive director of I Am Not the Media Incorporated. Define to our audience what white fragility is.
White fragility is this concept that basically explains how when dealing with race or trying to dismantle or deconstruct the system of racism, there's this level of uncomfortability that exists with white Americans that makes them avoid having conversations or engaging in actions to dismantle the system. White fragility basically states how there's different tactics that are utilized by white Americans to gain equilibrium back in regards to the advantage that they have that they may not realize that they're used to having that keeps them in this kind of bubble to avoid dealing with racism. And so a lot of things that are explained in the text to describe white fragility are tactics such as white women's tears. That's a chapter in the book to kind of deflect a lot of the rhetoric that surrounds challenges with African-Americans or Black people in America. Another example of white fragility is getting angry when those conversations come into play, or having certain concepts of like color blindness is another one she brings up, where it's that statement, I don't see color. And what she does, what Robin DiAngelo does, is she states, if you cannot see race, then you cannot possibly see the system of racism that, although may appear to be invisible, it lives and it breathes and it impacts people of color daily. And so she addresses color blindness, meritocracy, the concept of meritocracy, which is, you know, hey, look at Barack Obama, look at all of these other great African-American people that have made it in the system. Basically, it avoids addressing that the system shuts out a massive amount of people of color. These are some of the different concepts that she say are utilized, and it exemplifies white fragility, and it helps people to acknowledge it. So if you're utilizing some of these key points when you're having conversations, you might be experiencing white fragility. So,
all right. And when you said racism is invisible, it is, in a sense. It's almost a visceral feeling that when you know when you're in the room with someone, right?
Yes. So I think that's the challenge, where honestly, I think it has been somewhat invisible, I would say, because of what we consider covert racism has basically taken over for, I know for my generation, it was not as overt as it used to be. But I think that we've had a lot of examples of overt racism, especially on social media within the last decade, I would say. But the system that people say, because a lot of people say, hey, racism really isn't a thing. And I have even had conversations with my daughter, who's 11 years old. And she says, I don't experience racism. We literally had this conversation last weekend. And I had to bring to her attention that even when you're engaging in watching your favorite shows on Disney, when you're seeing these television shows that are majority white individuals, white youth, that doesn't reflect the America we live in. That doesn't represent everyone. When you're seeing these narratives that are constantly being shared in media and movies where we're basically invisible, that is an example of how a system of racism does exist that keeps a certain group at a position of power, a position of visibility and advantage. And so that is an example. You might not be experiencing being called a negative word, but it still is impacting you with representation. And I have to explain that to my daughter, because it lives and breathes in different facets of our lives beyond just being called names or saying, you can't come sit at this counter. Or, right. You know, so it's basically helping her understand and be aware of how to pay attention in the different avenues of her life in which racism, the system of racism, exists.
Right. And when you talk about representation, people would say, oh, don't use the black card. You're using the black card. Why are you using the black card? That used to be a thing, right?
Yes.
I didn't get this job because, or I'm not getting the opportunity. And then when you explain yourself, sometimes people would rebuttal with, well, you're playing the black card. What do you say in that instance? I know I'm putting you on the spot this morning, but when you say black card, that's part of the fragilism, is it not?
Well, that is definitely rhetoric that aligns with the fragilism associated with white fragility that DiAngelo acknowledges in the text. And one of those tactics is to ignore the experiences and realities that are daily felt by people of color. And I think that one of the main points that she makes is that there's an importance to acknowledge the realities of people of color. So even if that, if you are feeling discriminated against in that moment, it creates an opportunity for a conversation. To disregard the realities of people of color is to continue to perpetuate the system that exists of racism in our country. And so that's the main aim of this text, is to understand the need and the importance of engaging in dialogue and conversation, even when race is on the table, even when it arises, not to ignore those moments, whether we acknowledge or acknowledge it as truth. It's a reality for us, for people of color. And so that's important. In regards to, if I'm a person of color and I experience someone giving me that statement as you're playing the black card, I would really challenge the organization to really assess and look into their infrastructure and how their organization is made up. Because if you're dealing with an organization that doesn't represent people of color, doesn't include people of color, then that reflection on that organization is showing that they are not aware of how they are continuing to perpetuate the system that exists. And it continues to serve and benefit only people, white people, to maintain that advantage. And so I would be more vocal and challenge. I would throw out that card and challenge them to really reflect on how their institution or their organization is embracing a culture of diversity. And it opens up a conversation. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I would be able to admit it. But if they cannot articulate how their organization actually embraces diversity and it's not reflected in their infrastructure, then I think it's very worthy of that black card being played.
Me being an African-American woman, if someone says, oh, you're playing the black card, I'm like, I am a card-holding member.
Definitely. I think so.
For 400 years, my ancestors, right? It's just been a lineage of struggle. My uncle was a Tuskegee Airman, and he couldn't even get a house loan when he came back and fought for this country. So there were so many little things that make a big difference. I can say that. Little things make a big difference.
I agree. And another notion that is brought to the table in the text with D'Angelo is this concept of the good and bad binary with racism. And so it's this notion that I can't be racist, or our organization isn't racist, because it's considered to be bad. Racist means bad, right? And if you're not racist, that means good. So it's this good and bad binary associated with being or not being racist. And what this text actually does is it challenges us to understand that it's not about this good or bad kind of binary that exists. It's about a system of racism that was constructed and that still lives and breathes. And instead of pointing the finger and saying you're racist or your institution is racist, it's more so about this system exists, and let's look at how every facet of our life, with our thoughts and our actions, how they are tied to the system, because we've all been influenced. Every person walking and breathing has been influenced by the system of racism. Even people of color have been influenced by the system of racism, with even some of our prejudices. So let's look at how our actions and our thoughts, whether there is some level of implicit biases that you may have towards me or other people of color that you're not aware of, whether my name is Jamaica LaShonda Anderson, and when you saw my application, you pushed it to the side. What were those implicit biases that you may have had of who I am before you even met me? So let's look at the thoughts and the actions of ourselves and of the culture of our organization or our company, and how those thoughts are aligned with the system of racism or have been influenced by the system of racism that exists, versus pointing a finger as you're good, you're bad, because you're racist or you're not racist. So
Jamaica Anderson's joining us this morning. I bet your virtual book club for white fragility is on fire. Like, you probably want to meet for an hour and you meet for an hour and a half.
Yes, that's exactly what it's like. Because people share stories and we talk, and we are a diverse group. So we have black and white and other races on the call. So yeah, it gets really
It's a nice place, soft landing when you want to talk about race, because most of the time people don't want to talk about race. And another thing I wanted to address is when someone who's non-African-American asks you, what do you want to be called, right? I always say, I want to be called a person, but here's the deal. Do you want to be called African-American or do you want to be called Black? I personally like all those syllables. African-American.
I know what I like to be called. I agree. I like to be called African-American, one, because it connects me to the land of my ancestors, which is Africa, and acknowledges that I am an American, and the fact that I speak English and the fact that I am culturally influenced by American culture, it all depicts who I am and the essence of my being. But as far as Black, I think that a lot of people of color align with being called Black because a lot of us are biracial and unknowledgeable of all of the different races that we are mixed with, just being a person that has African descent, but you may also have Native American descent, and you might also have white blood in your body, and you might also have other cultures in your body and other races in your body. But a lot of us have been stripped away from that knowledge. And so Black kind of contextualizes the essence of our being, the unknown, but yet still the known, that we are still a person of color and we're Black. So I say, identify with what works for you. I know Black is a popular term that's utilized in like Brazil, which has the largest Black population in the world, just because there's so many different races that are mixed with African descent there in Brazil. So I say identify with what you would like to be. Sometimes it's interchangeable for me. I will say that. But for the most part, I do identify as African-American.
The last chapter in White Fragility, where do we go from here? Question mark.
Yeah. So the book kind of levels out with kind of next steps, and kind of also it provides a framework for engaging in dialogic conversations about race. So it allows you to understand, it's like a guide for having those conversations, because I think the main point of D'Angelo's book is to take action and to start having those conversations. Kind of provides like a next step. This is kind of a how-to guide on how to do that moving forward, specifically with white Americans, but it also is beneficial for African-Americans like me with having a book club. So like I said, I started this book a year ago, and now here I am hosting these conversations in the community on a virtual platform. So I would say that this book definitely has inspired me to move forward with engaging in dialogue. And I think that that's the purpose of D'Angelo's text as well.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing. What can we do for you, Jamaica Anderson? What can we do? We can definitely invite you out to speak.
Oh, that would be great. Actually, I'm very shy, Francine. I don't know if you know that. But I push myself. I push myself to do some of the things I do. But I would love to speak if you would ever invite me. I'll be there. In regards to other ways to support, is educate other people about the opportunities to learn and about racial discourse, and also share people the opportunity for them to join the virtual book club. If they want to reach out to me on Twitter, Jamaica Anderson, I'm J-I-M-M-E-K-A Anderson, all one word. And also I'm on Facebook and Instagram, Jamaica Anderson. Send me a message. I'll make sure you get an invitation to our next book club reading.
Ooh, an invitation to the book club, the virtual book club, Jamaica Anderson. You always come through. That's all I'm going to say. You might be shy, but you always come through.
Thank you.
All right. We can go right now and we can catch up with Jamaica with all of her wonderfulness on social media, Jamaica Anderson. And Jamaica is spelled J-I-M-M-E-K-A. Now, if you want to follow I Am Not the Media, you can go to IamNotTheMedia.org and find out what's happening with the teens and what's happening with media literacy. Thank you so much.
You're listening to the Francine Marie Show. We're popping out for a quick cup of tea, but we'll be right back.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.